But our top story of the day today, after being tended to by six generations and open to the public for over 80 years, the announcement was made yesterday that Daffodil Hill will close its gates to the public indefinitely. And in the studio with us this morning is Sheriff Ryan, Martin Ryan, and Amador County Clerk Recorder Kim Ryan Grady, but they're not here in their official, you're here in your official Daffodil Hill positions today. To talk about this. And Martin and Kim, before we get going, I just want to thank you guys and your family for doing this for so many years for the county. And, you know, really thank you. Thank you on behalf of all the, you know, everybody, the visitors, businesses, thank you.
Seriously. We love it.
Thank
so
you.
It's hard to do.
So let's just talk about it. You know, okay, yeah, we're going to close it. Too much traffic, blah, blah, blah. Let's talk about Daffodil Hill.
Sure.
Let's hear some history. Why do we call it McLaughlin's Daffodil Hill?
Well, the family ranch property was purchased in 1887 by one of our McLaughlin ancestors, great-grandfather to me, great-great to Kim. And so it was McLaughlin Ranch, and they took over this way station, and they inherited a 2.5-story, 17-room boarding house as a result of that purchase. And the way station served people that were bringing supplies over the Sierras to the mines and to the cities. And so people would stay there. There was a blacksmith shop and things like that that would work on the wagons, put up their animals and those kind of things as they went on their way. So that was purchased by great-grandfather McLaughlin from a Dutchman. And he had actually planted some of the daffodils as part of a tribute to his homeland. And so as fate would have it, they're poisonous to gophers and deer won't eat them. And so they were allowed to exist. And when the ladies of the family were taking care of the boarding house, they planted more flowers to kind of beautify the place. And then as that generation passed on, flowers were planted in their memory. So it really started as a memorial garden. Great Uncle Jess McLaughlin and his wife Callie were really the ones that got it up and running, along with my grandmother, Luco, and started planting more and more, to the point where 1940 is what we use as our, what we call the soft opening, when people would stop by and say, hey, do you mind if we look at the flowers? And Uncle Jess says, sure. At that time, you could open the gate and you could park about 8 cars in there in front of the barn, and that was Daffodil Hill. And so it morphed into Daffodil Hill. It didn't start off being that.
So how do the Ryans come into this?
Go ahead, Kimmer.
Okay.
Now,
so
Kim is the daughter of George Ryan, who is Martin's brother. Martin and Mike.
Yep.
And so you're the, the sixth generation of this?
Fifth.
Fifth generation?
Yeah, so my kids
so
are six.
So your kids will be six. Okay,
yep.
So you're the fifth generation. All right, so how do the Ryans get involved?
Okay, so it went from McLaughlin's, and they had a child and who married Luco, and then Luco married and had my grandmother, and grandmother married Ryan, and so.
So that's how it all gets into the family. So
right.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thank you. So, sad news yesterday, Daffodil Hill seemingly coming to an end.
It is sad, but it's necessary.
And I've talked to both of you about this before, and a lot of people, you know, this didn't start out to be a business. And you didn't want it to be a business.
No, and it finished up not as a business
and
either.
I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but
it isn't. It still isn't.
Like many things, it's just, yeah, we do it, but as we do it, it gets to be so big, it eats itself up.
This is really developed out of a respect for those that came before us and continued on in that vein. So it was
how large was it, Martin, originally?
Well, the hill itself is about 6 acres from the front gate to the back.
Yeah. And are all 6 acres planted?
No, there's
outbuildings.
There's flowers scattered between those areas. You can see in the picnic area and out front and that kind of thing is before you get back to the main planting area.
Mm-hmm.
So there's flowers scattered throughout those 6 acres.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No.
I interrupted you. You said this all started out of, like you said,
yeah,
kind of
it was,
a memorial.
Yeah, it was really to honor the ancestors and show respect for them, the memorial to them. And that kind of perpetuated itself with each successive generation, mm-hmm. That we were there to do that. My parents, my Uncle Art, my mom's brother, and that crew that were the third generation group, yeah. That came through, did it out of respect for their parents. And we do the same thing out of respect for ours. And that's what continues it for us.
How do you sit down at the table with all the players and go, okay, I make a motion we end this?
Well, it wasn't
without
that,
someone going,
it wasn't
way
quite,
to go, Martin.
It wasn't quite that
easy.
Simple.
No, not.
There was a lot of discussion about options.
Has this been going on for years, or just this this year?
Because probably the last couple of years.
Because you've had some pretty tough openings too. I mean, open one day, close the next day.
Oh, absolutely.
What was it? 2 years ago, didn't even open.
Right.
Yeah.
2 years
yeah.
ago.
Just two.
Mother Nature.
2 days this year.
Yeah.
So
right. Yeah.
It was. But there's a lot of people involved. I mean, there's not only family, but there's close friends and people that we convince this is fun to do, and they help us out, and those kind of folks that have just been amazing. But again, it was a memorial garden, and that's what it's always been to us. It's never was a business endeavor, and it was funny because my mom was death on selling anything up there that even resembled a business. She
only the postcards.
Yeah, she consented to postcards. After she passed in 08, we kind of expanded to little stuff. But the decision not to charge for anything, for parking or for entry, was something that was established many, many years ago, mm-hmm. and was very closely held by the family that's the way this needs to be.
Mm-hmm. So it never was a business.
It was just what – and people – I know you both personally, so I know you don't just start a week before you open by cleaning the parking lot and making sure there's – this goes on – this is a year-round
pretty
endeavor.
Pretty much year-round, yeah.
You know, planting the flowers. And when do you start with the flowers?
Well, we have to plant them – well, we order them.
Like
in
soon?
The summertime.
Don't
yeah,
you start
usually
in the
around
summer?
August. And then we receive them probably in October. And Grandma always wanted them in before Thanksgiving, and some years we can't do that because there's snow or rain or whatever, and so we try and get them all in before the first of the year, and then you start in on the cleaning as soon as you can, and fixing. You got to fix the fence and something at the barn or
What are your earliest memories of Daffodil Hill?
I don't have any memories really before that. It's always up there.
I mean, but no, you. I mean, you going there. What's your earliest memories that you can just, like, forever?
Forever. Yeah. We were there all the time. Mm-hmm. So, I have pictures of me as a baby up there.
Yeah.
But I remember being up there as a toddler, having the geese chase me, planting bulbs. We thought it was super fun.
Yeah.
Little did we know. No, it's still fun.
You and George and Mike, you would go up there as young boys? And,
yeah.
I mean, when do you get indoctrinated into this?
Well, the minute you can walk.
Great Uncle Jess was sneaky. He made it a fun outing for us. And so we would hop in his old truck and drive up Ramshorn Grade, and which is interesting because he lost one of his eyes. So you have a one-eyed uncle driving you up Ramshorn Grade. But, it was something that he was retired. Aunt Callie mm-hmm. was retired. Grandmother Mary was retired. And so they had time. And so when we were younger, they just load us up and we'd go up there. And
every school break, all of that, yeah.
And until we were old enough to actually do manual labor, we got to chase lizards and do that kind of thing. And then when the daffodils came out, and it was actually during the time, George and Mike and I were kind of props for the media that came up when we were little guys. They wanted us to take a picture of us running down the path. There's actually a Sacramento Bee article, one of the inserts, and it's a picture of myself with Great Uncle Jess on the hill. I think it was in 52 or 53. Yeah. I think I'm 2 years old at the time in that photograph. So we always had that as the place to go, and when the walnut trees were in where the planting is, we'd go up and pick walnuts out and get those out of there and all that kind of stuff. There was always something to do, and it was always chickens and things like that. So it was an amazing place to be.
Will you miss it?
Oh, absolutely. Well, we're still going to be there. I mean,
it's still ours. We're still going to go and take care of things, and so we'll be there.
Are you still going to plant flowers?
You know, we've had that discussion, and I think we are. Just from not to the extent that we have in the past.
So how will you keep people out?
Well, trying to get the word out by this that we're closed.
But you know that someone's going to drive up there.
It's private property. Oh, they do. But we're going to have to, for the first bit of time, we're going to have a presence up there. Mm-hmm. And make sure that people are aware that this is closed. It's private property. You can't just come wandering on. And so that's the next step for us. But we're going to leave the notice up on the Facebook page for quite a while now to make sure it gets out. I think we're over 1,000
comments
on that,
already. Yesterday, I think, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's getting out from that perspective, doing it with you, getting it in the local paper, doing those kind of things for the local people to get that. So that's all we can do at this point.
So how did you come to the decision? I asked you, you sat down at a table and how did it go? Did you guys, call each other, email?
We did sit down and have a few meetings where we discussed it because it really was upsetting. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of have to calm down a little bit before you can have a rational discussion about what you want to do.
Because who wants to be the one to pull the plug?
Exactly.
Sure. Jim, and it was interesting because we'd talk around, we talked about some of the options. Some of the options were brought up in the comments. We tried to address them in the in our post. Some of the options that we considered, shuttles. Well, not everybody's going to take a shuttle. And so where do you park the shuttles? How do you unload the shuttles? How do you get people across the street back to load them up to do something else? That was one of reservations. Well, you make a reservation and it rains and we're closed.
Mm-hmm. So then does it go to the next day or do those people lose
when
their reservation?
When it's sporadic like that, then how do we deal with it? Those of us, since we're all employed, getting people to get up there to be there for that.
One of the suggestions we had, we didn't have it, but it came through to us, was charge $10 a person, and that would reduce the number of people.
I'm not sure it would reduce them.
But again,
it goes against everything.
This is not a business.
Exactly.
And that's, I think at the end of the day, it's not a business. It was something we just did.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing. That was never going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that people don't realize, because they'll come up there and park, and they say, well, why don't you charge a dollar to park or do something else? I said, do you see how backed up it is now? And you stop people at the front gate, and they reach for a dollar or try to come up with the dollar or
and you come up
ask
with
somebody for a dollar.
Need change. And
it's just going to be a mess.
So, Martin, Kim, why do you think this year it just, boom, it was the perfect storm? You had people backed up. For over, 2 hours to even get to the parkings. People were parking along the road, and Rams were in grade. It's not the best road to park on.
Right.
CHP wasn't too happy. Some neighbors weren't too happy. Why do you think it just happened, boom, this year?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. I think it's been building.
Yes.
We have seen over the last 4 or 5 years at least an increase. I think some of that had to do with the Facebook posting and how many people that outreaches to. So we saw it building and building and building, and we could feel the impact on us on the hill and, those kind of things that we just beginning to become unmanageable. I think because the year before it wasn't open at all, and then we got a lot of media coverage
that it was going to
open.
Year. It
was
going to
open for the 2 days. And the problem is you can't unring that bell. You know, once it's at that level and people know about it, we could take down our Facebook page, but the people that track Daffodil Hill would be calling and asking about it, and it'd still get out to the thousands of people that follow us. But going back to your original question about how we come to this decision. So we sat around, we went through the different options, and we go, okay, well, what about we do this? What about we expand the size of the parking lot? Well, that puts people further away from the hill. A lot of our patrons don't walk really well, and so you've inconvenienced them and made it even worse. The infrastructure of the roads, those are not fixable things. We don't have any influence
over
that.
And the size of the hill itself. You can't, it's only as big as it is.
Yeah.
You can't make it bigger. We can't make it something it's not.
Right.
And the photos, people took photos on Sunday of the crowd just in front of the sales booth in the barn, and you couldn't even walk through there. It was that mobbed, and that was kind of the catalyst for making the final decision where we needed to go. But part of that process was going through the different steps and figuring out how can we make this work, because we're very aware of the impact on the local economy by having that open. And that played a role in making it that much more difficult to make
Absolutely.
The decision.
Are you all at peace with it?
Yeah.
Yes, I think so.
You know, I think we are.
We're sad because it's, you know, it's the end of something great, but it's still there and we'll still enjoy it. And
so hopefully
people understand.
It'll stay in the family. It's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
You will still plant flowers.
Mm-hmm. Back to in remembrance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will you do private showings? Will you do private visits?
You know, it's not going to be at that level.
Let's say the garden club, the Sierra Madre Garden Club wants to come. Will you?
Yeah, see, the problem you run into again is having us up there.
Yeah.
While that goes on, we just can't open it up and let people wander. It is private property.
Because it's private property, mm-hmm. right.
Mm-hmm. And so that creates other things and schedules, and you know, we have somebody up here who's going to take the Thursday this week and who's going to take the Wednesday the next.
Right. And as like everything else, if it got out, then it's going to be 7 days a week.
Right.
And
yeah.
how are we going to have people up there to do that? You can't say no to this one when you said yes to this one. And so it just overwhelms itself.
Well, again, you guys, thank you on behalf of Amador County, the Ryans and the Grady's, and I mean, who's the Grady's? The Thomas? Mm-hmm. Who else? What other families are involved?
Every other family in Amador County.
I mean, and the reason because the Thomas, because of George's daughter and so forth, and just goes on and on.
There's 12 of us in the fifth generation, and no, 8 of us in fifth.
What about
and then 12 in the sixth Aaron with some more
and
coming.
Ryan and
right, there's 12 of them plus 3 more by the end of the year, so that's 15. So
we'll see. how many kids does your brother have?
Three.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah,
he doesn't, his kids aren't having kids though yet.
No, they're not old enough.
Yeah,
we haven't got to that generation yet.
We haven't got to 7. We're still working on 6.
We're still on 6, so we'll keep it there.
So is this indefinitely? It doesn't definitely mean forever. Does it just mean?
Well, indefinitely. If at this point we had to cut the tie, we just had to make that decision. Where it goes in future generations, we don't know. But I can't see a situation where we reopen. And again, that's from my perspective in fourth gen.
Yeah. Right. And that's
Kim's five. And that's
why we had that discussion, because indefinitely sounded better to us.
Yeah.
But we can't see where we can make it work. We've tried. Yeah. We've gone over and over all those options, and we can break them down and make them not work. And it's
no, I don't. I mean, nobody blames you for anything. I mean,
well, and the comment,
and
I must add too, and just from my perspective, I'm sure from Kim's too. The people who have been our visitors over the years, we have generational visitors.
Oh, absolutely.
People that were 2 years old when their grandparents brought them up the hill, that are now grandparents themselves and bringing people.
Yeah.
99.9% of the people that we dealt with up there, even with the traffic situations, would thank us for being open and doing
what we do.
Are
lovely, yes. Yeah. They're lovely.
And so that's, you know, and the support from the community here has been outstanding. We hope that we were a positive influence on the community. I think we were. The type of people that we would bring to an event like Daffodil Hill is a pretty good crowd.
Yeah.
You know, they are. Yeah. They're not going to cause problems. They're there to see flowers and enjoy the serenity and the beauty of the county. So it's really those people, and that's why we're going to plant, actually, to keep us together.
Yeah.
To
keep us
go
together,
up there
too.
And say, okay, we're going to have a planting day at Daffodil Hill, and we're going to put flowers in, and we're going to chat and have a picnic and do that kind of stuff. And
it forced us all together all the time. And we do like each other most of the time.
Of course.
So we're going to keep that up. So that
we just have busy lives.
Yeah, exactly.
And so
and you separate. I mean, Joe doesn't live in Amador County.
Right, neither does my daughter, Jamie. Yeah.
No, there you go.
Yeah.
But they'll come
and
up.
Keith lives in
South Dakota.
Yeah. You know, and
Mitch lives in San Diego. Mitch
there
and
you
Whitney.
Go.
So
and Ryan and
Ryan's in LA.
Aaron, who knows where they'll end up to.
You don't know where they'll all end up. But this way, we still get together, and it's not, you know, for Christmas or for Thanksgiving or what. Although we do our Thanksgiving sometimes up there in the parking lot or in the picnic area. I mean, but it keeps us together too, because it's we all love it.
Yeah,
we all want to be there, and so that part of it won't change at all.
Well, Kim Ryan Grady, and that's hard to say, Kim Ryan Grady, because your son is Ryan Grady. Kim Ryan Grady. It's like I'm talking to two people. Martin Ryan, thank you, guys. Again, on behalf of Amador County,
thank
you for everything that your families have done over the years for the county. So,
appreciate it. Thanks for having us in.
Thanks for having us.